Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. That's where you can find the show. A lot of different ways. On demand, you can time shift. In fact, we'll allow you to place shift. That's right. We'll actually give you the MP3 capability to stream or to download the archives. In fact, all the way back to when we started doing archives, all the way back to 99, including some of the archives that Roger Volkema deposited with us, even way back there in 99. That's how long he's been our friend. And so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog while you're there. We update that every weekday. Lots and lots of stuff there for you as your small business at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz. You want to make sure you check that out when you have a question and you're looking for a quick answer. We got them for you. Roger Volkema, as I said, is our guest. Roger is a professor of management at the Kogod School of Business at American University, which is in our nation's capital, and he is now the head of the Department of Management. We're very proud of him. Roger is also the author of The Negotiations Toolkit and Leverage, which is the sequel to that first book. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Good to have you back, as always, and congratulations again on your new book. Leverage, negotiating is all about leverage, when to use it, when to lay back and let somebody else have a little leverage, how to use it. You know, a lever used improperly is just a club, isn't it?
Exactly.
And sometimes clubbing people isn't a good way to negotiate with them, is it?
Not at all, particularly if there are long-term relationship implications.
Right.
And most of the negotiations we're involved in, Jim, are with people with whom we have long-term relationships. So,
exactly.
Be careful about that.
Well, and that's the key is, some people think negotiating is I get what I want as soon as I get it, as I can get it. Well, that's not leverage. That's being a kindergartner, isn't it?
Yeah, my definition, Jim, of a good negotiation is one where you get what you want and the other party feels good enough about the transaction that they're willing to do business with you again in the future.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. And especially, you know, Roger, in the 21st century, can you think of any other time in the history of mankind when people have had more choices, when they could go any more places to get stuff? I mean, they don't have to come back to you, do they?
No, and that's one of the key elements of leverage, Jim, is alternatives. You know, if you have alternatives, then the other party has less leverage over you because you know, you can go to someone else.
Is part of our leverage, you know, sometimes when we think of leverage, we think of having an advantage over someone. We think of knowing something somebody else doesn't have, them being intimidated or in a bind or whatever, and we use our ability to help them, and you know that whatever exclusivity, whatever it may be, we use that to our advantage, and in that way, some people think of leverage that way, but I actually think leverage could be all those things, but in the 21st century, I think leverage needs to have a healthy dose of trust. What do you think? Can you see trust and leverage going together?
Well, leverage is really based on a couple of things, what you want and what your alternatives are. And if what you want is exactly what that other person has and you don't feel you have any alternatives, then that other person has a lot of leverage. But one of the things you may want is a relationship. You may want to feel good about the transaction. You may want to do business in the future. You may want a friend. A lot of international negotiations involve relationship building and getting to know the other person, their family, and so forth, sharing gifts and stories, dining together. This is an important part of figuring out what you want as well in many cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I use the word trust in there, what I'm talking about is You know, I think you can actually intimidate with trust. And if you follow my thinking here, if you believe that you can trust me, then maybe somebody else can do it faster or cheaper. But if I've convinced you that I'm totally trustworthy and you can count on me to do what I say or let you know if I can't, then that can be a factor, an intimidating factor, and a lever that makes the other person say, you know what, I know they got it cheaper over there, I know this guy, other guy can do it quicker, but I like the way this has been working out, and so I'm going to wait, I'm going to pay a little bit more. What do you think?
Well, I agree. This goes back, again, to the first of those two questions or issues. What do I want? I want somebody that I can trust, depend on, etc. Now, getting trust, Jim, is tricky, because generally to gain trust, you have to give some information. You have to reveal some things about you, and that can be scary if the other party doesn't reciprocate.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is different about negotiating in the 21st century than in the 20th century?
Well, I think there are a lot of similarities, but certainly technology changes things, because with the advent of the Internet, not only are we exchanging information, proposals, and so forth more through email, which is a much more challenging medium because all of those nonverbal cues are missing. Mm-hmm. But in addition, Jim, we have so much information available on the Internet that you can find out about other people that provide this product or service. You can expand your alternatives. You can learn about the person you're negotiating with and their business history. And
that's the other thing, is there's so much that we can come to the table with, armed with so much more today that we can come to the table with than that we didn't have, say, even 10, 20 years ago.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do with technology.
Yep. And the instantaneous availability of information. And, of course, and a lot of this information is information that we put on our own websites that years ago we wouldn't even have distributed.
That's true.
But it's becoming more and more not only acceptable, but expected to have certain information available. And this, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how the new, maybe we should call it the new transparency, is how that's affecting negotiating. We'll do that right after these messages. Folks, Roger Volcom is our guest. His new book is called Leverage, How to Get It, How to Keep It in Any Negotiation. Roger Volcom, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. He and I will be right back.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Roger Volcoma, V-O-L-K-E-M-A, Roger Volcoma, the author of Leverage, How to Get It, How to Keep It in Any Negotiation. Roger, tell us how your book's available, please.
Jim, best way to get it is to go on Amazon.com.
All right. You got your own website?
I do. It's a long website, but basically going to the American University website,
right?
You can get access to it.
All right, sounds good. Check that out, folks, or just Google Roger Volcoma, and you'll find out all about him too. Roger, I used the word transparency when we went to the break. In another interview recently, I was talking to an international trade attorney. And he was saying one of the best ways to do business internationally, to have a global strategy, and to do it successfully, meaning so that you don't get you don't buy tainted dog food or whatever, bad toothpaste, he said was through transparency. And so, and I think he's right. I think he makes an excellent point. But Roger, and more of us, as you know, more and more companies have more transparency than ever before. I mean, Sarbanes-Oxley is demanding transparency. The securities industry is demanding transparency. Our customers are demanding transparency. How can we be more effective negotiators and gain leverage if we're being so transparent? How do we fit those two together?
Well, that's difficult, Jim, because transparency basically is about information. And the more information you share, the more vulnerable you are, in a sense. On the other hand, sharing information is the key to finding those win-win agreements. The more information we share with each other, the more we can understand what the person really wants, what their needs are, how I can help that individual, how they can help me, what things we can exchange that will benefit both of us as opposed to one of us at the expense of the other.
You know, another thing I think transparency does in negotiating is it saves time, because the more a company is transparent and I can find out about them, maybe I determine before I get there that I don't want to do business with these guys.
Right.
I already know enough about them to know that their values and my values are not the same thing.
And as we discussed on a show probably back in 99, Jim, the first question you need to ask yourself in any important negotiation is, what do I want? Mm-hmm. And I don't just want this product at this price, but I want a product and a provider that I can depend on, that I trust, that I know is going to be there if I have any problems with the product down the line, et cetera. And so those are all elements that are important to small businessmen.
So aren't negotiations in the 21st century more about how we're going to, instead of how you and I are going to put this deal together, aren't more and then we say bye-bye, aren't 21st century negotiations more and more about how we're going to have a relationship?
Yeah, I think if you look outside North America, relationships are extremely important in negotiations, more important than the contracting itself. And because of globalization, I think some of this is rubbed off, and developing relationships has become extremely important in all kinds of international negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
If you got somebody you can depend on, they've got a good product or service, you want to have a long-term relationship with that individual.
Well, and see, that's what I was talking about in a previous hour, and have many hours before, Roger, and that is this idea of people, more and more people want stuff more than they need stuff. They you know, we all need certain things, but we want a little bit more. We want, and I've been using the term, what we want is anywhere from a little bit more to everything. And we also want to save for other people, to save us time. Our customers want us to save them time. So aren't we negotiating for different things? Aren't the things we're negotiating for in the 21st century more likely to be intangibles rather than tangibles?
Well, you make a distinction, Jim, between wants and needs, and that's a real important distinction, because the need is what is what we're really after, and the want is a way we think of achieving that. There was an old Rolling Stones song that went something like, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes
right.
you can get what you need.
Right.
And the key sometimes to finding these win-win solutions is to move past our wants and to understand what's behind them, and that's what need are you trying to satisfy? And often this is what leads to the breakthroughs.
Well, yeah, but I still think, Roger, that for small business owners, we need to be negotiating the leverage I think that we have is when we do find out what they need, and then we figure out a way to get them, our customers, what they want. Because what they want is more precious to them than what they need, I think.
Well,
because
I think
because what they want is customized.
That may be, yeah. I think of a need, Jim, as something that's fundamental, like I'm hungry, I need food.
Right, but in the marketplace, what you need is a commodity.
And I want, I decided that I want this particular eat at this particular restaurant, but it's mm-hmm. because I need food.
Right.
All right, what other restaurant will work? What other commodity will work?
Exactly.
What other vendor will work?
congratulations again on your book. Leverage is the name of it, folks. The author is Roger Volkema. How to get it, how to keep it in any negotiation. Roger, will you come back another day real soon?
I'd love to, Jim.
We got a lot more to talk about. Congratulations on your promotion, by the way.
Thanks, Jim.
You know, folks, our Brain Trust, all the cream keeps rising to the top. He's now the manager of the head of the management department, I should say, at American University. Roger Volkema, folks, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.